All right, welcome back to program number 2 in our accelerated NLP training series. And now as we get into the heart of the matter, I'd like you to begin to think about something. So let's look at page 7. And if you look at our little man here, what we've got is an external event that comes in from the outside. And it goes into his head and he filters that information in some way. And the filters do the process. In fact, you might want to write the word do right there next to delete, distort, and generalize. So write the word do right there next to delete, distort, and generalize on page 7. The filters do the process of deleting, distorting, and generalizing. And the filters are our experience of time, space, matter, and energy, our language, the language that we speak. And those of you that are multilingual know that when you're thinking in your different language, that the world is a different place. Our memories and decisions, those also filter our external experience, and metaprograms and values and beliefs and attitudes. Those all filter our experience, and then that experience comes inside, and we make an internal representation of it. That internal representation is intimately coupled with a state, and that state is intimately coupled with a physiology, which you'll notice it says leads to behavior. Now, what I'd like you to do on page 7 is I'd like you to take and make a circle around the part that says internal representation, because that's real important for NLP as well as for any communication that we do. And as we begin, and as you're beginning to learn NLP, and we're just simply beginning to get into it, I'd like you to begin by noticing the kinds of words that you use and the kinds of words that people around you use. I'd like you to begin to notice what's the internal representation that you make inside your head. I'd like you to think about what is the order and sequence of those internal representations. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not just talking about positive thinking. 20 years ago, they did a study of the major industrial accidents in the United States, and they found that there was a poster on the wall in the majority of those cases that told the person what not to do. You've seen them. You've seen them. In fact, my favorite one is the one that's required, which is a guy with a banana peel. And I've seen this so many times, I can't believe it. And there's a guy with a banana peel, and he's slipping, and the banana peel's going up in the air, and he's falling over backwards. And underneath in big letters, it says, "Don't slip." Now, I think it makes a lot of sense to tell people what to do, but I'm not sure if it makes a lot of sense to tell people what not to do. And the reason is because your mind cannot process a negative directly. For example, if I were to say to you, "Don't think of a blue tree," just for a minute, stop, and notice what happens if I say to you, "Don't think of a blue tree." Well, what are you thinking of? Probably you're thinking of a blue tree unless you've been semantically trained. It's impossible to not think about something you're not supposed to think about. In fact, you can't actually do that. So as you consider this entire training, I'd like you to consider it in light of what is the internal representation that goes on inside your head. This is the basis of creating change, this internal representation that's here on the left side of our diagram on page 7. Notice it's impossible to hold a negative in consciousness directly. Now, if I were to say to you, "Don't think of a blue tree," you might think of a blue tree and then think, "Oh, I'm not supposed to think of a blue tree," so then you'd think of a tree with green leaves. That's one possibility. So at very best, it might be a two-step process where you think about what you don't want to think about, then you think about what you do want to think about. Think about that for a moment and realize that it's not possible to think about what you don't want to think about without thinking about it. Now, here's the thing. Your nervous system, the human body and the human nervous system, is an exquisite, exquisite, exquisite device. You've been given a device that is so efficient for producing behavior. But the behavior that it produces depends upon the internal representation that you make. And if you're making an internal representation that is about what you don't want, then you're likely to produce behavior that also is what you don't want. Think about kids, for example. You have a kid, and you say to him, "Don't go play in the street." And he goes, "Oh, the street. Thanks, Dad. I never thought of that." And off he goes. Or it's Christmas time, and you put a bowl of nuts on the table, and you say, "Keep your hands off those nuts." And he says, "Okay," as he grabs for him, because you've put something in his mind that perhaps wasn't even there. Now, this NLP communication model is very important in terms of our communication, and actually, page 7 contains just about all of NLP with some additions that we'll make shortly. So I'd like to begin by thinking about that. What is it that I have to do to change this internal representation? And that's what NLP at the practitioner level is about, and that's what we'll be talking about in these programs that you're going to be listening to. Let's see where NLP came from. I think that's important to begin with as we begin to talk about this sort of science of NLP. Where did it come from? What's the thinking? And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the early days of NLP.